Okay, after I pointed this out and Nit was in a corner, you know what he said? The Lord told him that Revelation 5 happened at the resurrection. Well, that's a neat thing. Okay, so it don't happen to Revelation 5, so we're going to put Revelation 5 back at the resurrection. This is one major big problem with that, folks. Revelation 5 doesn't happen until the tribulation starts. And it says so very plainly. So you see, manipulation, let's get out of it one way or the other, but we know that the voice I heard was right. No, the voice you heard was a lying voice. Now watch very carefully. I'm going to show you exactly what the Bible says. Okay, let's go to Revelation 5. Let's see if this is true, that Revelation 5 happened at the resurrection. Okay, we'll start at Revelation 4 and 1. After these things I saw, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice that I heard, a voice as of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must come to pass hereafter. Hereafter? Uh-oh. Now we're seeing John, who got this revelation in 96 A.D., seeing Revelation 4 on as future to 96 A.D. That was past the resurrection. So you see, Revelation 5 could not have been at all back in the time of Jesus, at the time of the resurrection. Now, I'm going to prove it to you a little better than that, okay? Straightway I was in the Spirit, and behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sitting upon the throne. Wow, that was God, right? Right. Okay, Revelation 5 and 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Uh-oh. Now you know Revelation 5 is also future to 96 A.D. And he's looking down the road and seeing the tribulation period. Uh-oh. And what was this book? Well, it was the book that had all the seal judgments in it, right? You know the seals? The seals that Jesus was found worthy because of his resurrection to be able to loose on the earth? Now, this is not the victory. This has nothing to do with the victory here. So that's out. Missed it on that, right? No, this has to do with judgment. These seals, each one of these seals is a judgment that the Lord is opening. And when is he doing it? At the beginning of the tribulation period, he starts doing it. Not 2,000 years ago. So, see, you can't have your cake and eat it too. See, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sing a new song saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. You see something? That Jesus was found worthy because of his sacrifice. He gave up his life. He was found worthy. But he didn't open the book then. He's opening the book at the beginning of the tribulation period. Watch. For thou wast slain, didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and madest them unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth. Well, he's talking about God's people in the tribulation period who reign upon the earth like Jesus did. Now, when the Lamb opened the seals, chapter 6 and verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. And it is what? The white horse rider. Did the white horse rider ride back 2,000 years ago at the resurrection? No. So you see, you just can't worm out of some things. No, it's a false spirit that says that. Either way, it's wrong. Either way it was spoken, it was wrong. Dead wrong. Clear as a bell. And Mitt's, every time I would get Mitt in a little corner because of the word, he'd say, well, I don't know when the sequence happens. I said, I'll tell you when it happens. The start happens at the beginning of the tribulation period, just like the Bible says. He said, the Lord would tell me when I saw it. I would know it when I saw it. I said, well, I'm not waiting that long. I want to know it now. And you say, and it's all right to know it now because the Lord is a revelator. Listen, only by faith in the resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago are we delivered from sin. There's a problem with thinking that the Lord doesn't receive the kingdom and he doesn't have dominion over the flesh and over the devil and everything until Revelation 5. And there's just as big a problem if you put Revelation 5 back over there so that it fits. No, folks. That's deception. That's willful deception. And he said that the Lord told him to write all this down in a fairy tale terms. Well, I tell that's kind of innocuous there, isn't it? Right? And then in paragraph 54, he said he was a sinner. Well, again, you don't understand that Romans 9 said he was made free from sin. If you get this revelation, folks, those of you out there, if you get this revelation, it is powerful. He made you free from sin. You were crucified with Christ. You do not live anymore. You are not a sinner. The Bible does not say that. It says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Go to our site. Listen to the article under the 90s audios called Sinners Saved by Grace, verse after verse after verse after verse, telling you that the saints are not sinners. He said to reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. We are not sinners. We're never going to call ourselves sinners. That is speaking against the gospel. It's not the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. Well, anyway, when we was realizing that more and more of this stuff was leaven, and it wasn't speaking by the Spirit of God, it wasn't spoken by the Spirit of God, and it was contrary to the Scriptures, every time I would talk to Mitt about the Scriptures, it was like he would deny the Scriptures every time, because he just knew God spoke to him. No, folks, it's the other way around. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Word of God is for judging doctrines and everything else, visions, dreams, whatever. You dare not do anything but stand on the rock. And that is what? Hear these words of mine and do them. And if you're not doing that, does God love you? No, He does not. There is no unconditional love like that. I'm warning you, folks, the Bible says that if possible, the very elect would be deceived. That's a strong delusion. Now, we know what's going to bring that delusion. People that feel that they don't have to read the Word of God, all they got to do is listen to voices. There isn't one voice out there you can know any more than that lady knew that was Jesus standing in her living room because he looked like the picture on the wall. You say, that's goofy. Well, I know, but it's just as goofy to think any voice you hear in your mind that speaks contrary to this Word is the Jesus and not another Jesus. It is dangerous. Some of you are being deceived. And some of you are being tried to see if you love the Lord your God with all your heart. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. And if you have your own selfish ambition, if you admire the love that someone talks about at the expense of judgment, oh yes, it was. It was a love totally at the expense of judgment. We found in the visions that we looked at, that Mitt was off on his unconditional love of all men, and he was off on judgment. He was off on believing Revelation 5 was in the time of the resurrection. And he's very off on his faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. You need to believe the gospel. Not some easy believism that somebody talks about nowadays that's supposed to give them something that they don't have. And you can look in their life and tell that they don't have it. I'm telling you, phileo love is not agape love. You will not be saved without agape love. And agape love is when you keep His commandments, not weasel your way out of them because you want to. Folks, it's an epidemic going across this land. Spirits being imparted to people that are very clear voices, that claim to be Jesus, claim to be the Lord. How do we tell? Well, you should tremble at the Word of God. There's only one way you can tell. If they speak not according to this Word, the Bible says, there'll be no mourning for them. If you add to my words, I'll add to you the curses that are in this book, the plagues that are in this book. And if you take away from my words, I'll take away your part from the tree of life. Be very, very careful. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me. I believe it was the night before last. We had been given this vision by Amos Skaggs. It came to me at the time when these people came over here. I'm talking about the folks that were listening to the voices. The ones that prophesied to me falsely. Brother Mitt. This is when it came at the beginning when all these people showed up. A concerted attack. You see, folks, I'm over here. We're over here at Ground Zero. I mean, we're 2 miles from Brownsville. We've been attacked by these people. Because the devil don't like us for about almost 12 years now. Listen to this. We called it the wolves hate the man-child. The overseer was outside, and all of a sudden an overwhelming number of big dogs and wolves attacked some of the overseer's kittens. I kind of think the overseer's the lion of the tribe of Judah, you know, so we're his kittens, right? Attacked some of the overseer's kittens. Some of the other kittens ran to the rescue. And I thought, that was strange. The only way that happens is if the mother cat is protecting her young. And the pack released the kitten unharmed and ran for the overseer. The overseer's left hand was severely punctured. Do you remember when our overseer's got his hand punctured? Yeah. And who did it then? Well, it was the wolves then too, wasn't it? Yes, sir. Punctured by bites of the wolves while killing three wolves with a knife in his right hand that were after the kittens who ran behind him for protection. Oh, yes, he does kill them wolves, folks. Although the leader was temporarily wounded and healed almost instantly, and you know he was too, don't you? He never slowed his pace in his protection of his people, and he never has, folks. He's been our warrior and our savior, and he's warred against these wolves ever since. And he's made me a warrior, and I'm not near as good as he is, but I do fail. But I tell you what, I'm learning a lot more. I'm going through these battles. We're getting prepared, folks. Like I said, we're going through boot camp. Worse is coming down the road. You better learn to not depart from that word. You better be careful, because the devil is real slick. He doesn't matter how much truth he has to give you to slip the lie in, he'll do it. You think the devil can't give you truth? He can give you truth. He will do it too. But he will slip as you go down the road a little more, a little more, a little more. It's a bunch of lies. The true people of God, this is my note, by the way, the true people of God, as the kitten, will try to protect their friends in Christ who are attacked by the wolves, and they do. God's people do stick up for one another, praise God, the true people of God. But just like in this vision, they're going to soon see the need to hide behind the Lord, who was wounded, right? And he will protect them at all costs. He will protect them. Jesus, as we read a while ago, you know, Jesus kept his disciples, and not one of them perished except the son of perdition. The scriptures might be fulfilled. Okay? Wolves are identified all through the scriptures. They're identified as the false religious leaders. They devour Christians with their lies and with their persecutions, just like it was in Jesus' day. Folks, many of God's people are devoured today. They don't walk in the life of Christ. They don't walk in those past tense promises because they don't believe the gospel. The devil hates the gospel. I shared that with you just the other night. How demons have manifested in our presence when we were talking about the gospel. They hate it so much. They will send false prophets to you to tell you you don't have to pay attention. It didn't all happen back there. The victory wasn't won back there. Because he hates the gospel. But every one of these is wolves or big dogs like this is talking about. You know, wolves are identified, you know, as these false religious leaders. Matthew 7:15, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Well, it's happening now, folks. From Paul's day until ours, they're not sparing the flock. They are plundering the flock. Strong delusion is taking hold of people. Many of these spirits are being passed on. What about the big dogs? Well, that's what the Lord showed me, that Mitt was one of these big dogs. Dogs are domesticated versions, right, which symbolizes more sympathy for the man-child movement. As this goes on, you'll understand this, and the true people of God, they've got more sympathy, but they're backslidden. 2 Peter 2:21 says, for it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it turn back from the holy commandment given unto them. See, they turn back from the holy commandment. By what? By this new voice. Multitudes are doing it, folks. This new voice. They get prayed over and all of a sudden they hear the voice of Jesus like they never heard him before. And they know it's him. And it doesn't matter how many verses you give them. They know that's Jesus. And they're not going to listen to those verses. Because they now have graduated, and they're a whole lot smarter than you. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit. So it's the dog that's turning away from the commandment, who knew the way of righteousness and turned away from it. This is somebody that's domesticated, but they're falling back on their own vomit. Okay, there was a second part to this. Listen to it. A dog and a wolf pack were discovering the baby. And he puts in parenthesis here, the man-child. Amos believed that this was a man-child. I do too. The baby was being protected. A friendly-looking big dog with authority came into the house through an open lower part of the screen door that was torn away. The big dog had sensed the baby and was headed for the baby's room. He wanted to go into the room, the place of the man-child. The dog was immediately escorted out by the father of the house with knives drawn. You know what knives are, right? The Word of God. Driven out of the house of God with the Word of God to protect the baby. His wife, that is the overseer, the father of the house, who was confidently backing his every move, was a beautiful, mature woman and was dressed in a white, silky gown with a slight white glow around her that made her stand out from the others. This is the faithful church, folks, the real church, the faithful people of God. The big dog and the wolves looked amazed and couldn't believe that they were escorted out and not permitted back in the house. Uh-oh. And the wolves were waiting outside to devour anything that was unprotected. In other words, if you weren't in the house, you're going to get devoured. What house is this? It's the house of God. The real house of God. It's that wife, that woman here, that's got the beautiful gown on. This is the real house of God, the real people of God, the woman that's going into the wilderness. Right? Listen, the torn screen door symbolizes leaders coming into the house another way rather than through the door of Christ. Jesus told us about that in John chapter 10. All those false leaders, those wolves that came before him were thieves and robbers, he said. No, not the devil. The false leaders are the thieves and robbers. Read it again. Well, they came up another way. They didn't go through the door. And here they went through the screen, right? The big dog went through the screen, which Jesus explained in John chapter 10 very plainly. While trying to investigate the man-child ministry, they will find that he does not agree with their own selfish agenda and will then try to destroy him, as their kind did in Jesus' day. Oh, yes, folks. If you don't agree with these people, they will be angry with you. They will make war on you. Like I said, before we started the meeting tonight, a man from Alaska railed on me and falsely accused me 5 times in a row because he had that spirit. They won't believe that they are not chosen to be included in the anointing and the works given to the man-child. They won't believe that they're being escorted from the house of God. They'll become jealous and angry towards him. See, Jesus, who is the father of this man-child, he is the last Adam. He's the spiritual father of this man-child, the one whose seed brought him forth, which is the Word of God. Through that wife, that is the church, will separate them from the true house of God. Apostate leaders will be reprobated when they find that they are fighting against the man-child, just as it was in Jesus' day. Well, isn't that interesting? Now, I woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the Lord suddenly brought to me the big friendly dog. And I knew it was meant. Some of you out there are probably mad already. That's okay. I don't care. The big friendly dog. He's very friendly. I don't have anything against him. I did my very best to try to show him, hey, what you're saying is not the word. This couldn't have been Jesus that spoke to you. It's epidemic, folks. It's epidemic. It's all across this land. I've never seen anything like it. And we're not even to the tribulation yet. God is sending delusion, strong delusion. Multitudes of people that call themselves Christians are being taken. They're being devoured by the ravening wolves. And I'll tell you, if you give up the gospel for some lie like this, you deserve it. I remember years ago, a very good friend of mine, who was an apostle. His wife was reading some oneness literature. And he saw when the demon entered into her. He saw it. It entered into her because she was reading that literature. I know, folks. Let me tell you. I'll confess right now. When I first, many years ago, when I was in the UPC, when I was coming out, I got delivered of that demon. It went right out through the top of my head. And I suddenly had a revelation of the true Son of God. It went right out through the top of my head. I know that that was a demon. And this demon was entering into his wife because she was reading their literature. And he cast it out very quickly. Oh, yes, you can read. You read their literature. You read it and you know it's wrong. And you find, like the brother that talked to me this morning, he said, David, I was reading that Castle Vision and I got to the point where it said, I love all men unconditionally. And I'd heard everything that the Word of God said about that. And I closed the thing up and I didn't look at it no more because I knew that was not the Lord. Now, that's exactly right, folks. Now, if you just keep on, you might find that demon entering into you. If you know it's not the Lord, listen, you know, the Lord is not going to speak against his own word. He's not schizophrenic. He doesn't ever have to change his mind. He sees the end from the beginning. He don't have to change his mind. Oh, yeah, from our point of view, when we repent, he changes his mind. But from his point of view, he sees the end from the beginning. He don't ever change his mind. He's got one plan. He sticks with it. Changing mind is for people that make mistakes. But from our point of view, prayer changes things, we say. Actually, prayer fulfills things. But from our point of view, we think when we pray, something changes. Well, of course it does. But you see, from God's point of view, he's simply using your faith to do what he was planning to do all along. Be careful, folks. That's all I'm saying. Just be very, very careful. Be careful when people lay hands on you. I was talking to some ladies this morning who had hands laid on them, and they needed a deliverance. And they told me about it. Be careful, folks. You're getting in their crowd. This is not something that needs to be done automatically. You know, plead the blood of Jesus over you. Don't let people lay hands on you if you don't feel completely comfortable about it. Don't do it because the crowd's doing it or because people expect you or don't do it. Don't do it. And don't let somebody slip up on you suddenly, like one of these people was saying, somebody came up behind them and prayed on them. Prayed on them. Yeah, that was the correct term. Prayed on them. Not prayed for them. Don't do it. And if you got any suspicion of these people who have a very prophetic spirit, but you hear that they're not speaking according to the word, or they've been to one of these spurious revivals, which is anything but, don't let those people pray over you. They will impart their demon to you. Now, the best defense you have is obviously to love the Word of God and not depart from it. And when you hear someone saying something, check them out. Be a Berean. Check them out. Get in the Word of God. See if it's so. Get your concordance out. You know, if it's on a subject like love, well, look up what the Bible has to say about love. And let's see if that's true. Don't keep reading just because you're eating like a hog, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Some people just swallow it down whole. They don't even pay attention to what they're eating. Before you know it, they're hooked, you know. No, people receive demons through literature just like they do when people lay hands on them. Seen it happen many, many times. Be careful. Be careful. These are dangerous days. Draw close to the Lord. I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm just telling you, fear the Lord, depart from evil, and be careful. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you when you're in crowds of people. Some of these people, you ask them, where did you get? They don't have the foggiest idea. But they got prayed over by somebody. That's how they got that voice in their mind. These people are more sure that they are hearing from God than anybody who really hears from God. I'm telling you the truth. You say it sounds crazy. No, it's not. It's because the devil doesn't have any convictions. He don't have any convictions about what gift he gives to somebody. He'll give the same prophetic false gift to four people in a row. But the Lord would never give the true gift to four people in a row. You hear what I'm saying? It doesn't happen. And those people who hear this false voice, they hear it louder and clearer than anybody that truly hears from God. And they're more convinced than the people who do truly hear from God. Even true prophets sometimes question, was that me, Lord, or was that you? Sometimes they question that. But these people never question. They're always sure. That's how you know that's false. He said, it don't make sense, David. I'm just telling you what I've seen over and over and over. Everyone that has those false prophetic spirits, every last one of them, is absolutely sure it's God. And they don't care what you put the Bible under their nose. They don't care. And you won't be able to convince them. Their hearts are fully hardened to this thing. They are ordained of God to devour. Wolves going forth to devour. A lot of people who are idolatrous people, ordained of God to do this. The overwhelming majority of them will never, ever come back to the Lord. A few will, by the grace of God, they will come back. But multitudes of them won't. You say, what could happen in just these few years we've got left to turn the whole nation, the whole world against Christianity? What could possibly do that? Well, the foolishness of an awful lot of Christians will bring persecution. Not only that, the foolishness of a lot of Christians who have been turned over to Antichrist spirits, because every demon spirit that's not Jesus Christ and imitates Jesus Christ is an Antichrist spirit. A lot of people with Antichrist spirits are going to do exactly what their forefathers did in Jesus' day. They're going to persecute and kill the saints and think they're doing God a favor. Oh, yes, that is the end of these demon spirits, folks, in these people. It is the end of them. They will. They are Antichrist spirits. Anti means in the place of, and it also means against. It doesn't promote the devil's kingdom for him nor his emissaries to show up with pitchforks and red suits, folks. They come as angels of light and with such powerful deceptions that would deceive the elect if God would permit it. So what are we to do? You'd better get in that word. You have to get prepared for the things that are coming. You have to get prepared for now, because I'm telling you right now, multitudes of people are being deceived. Right now, multitudes of them are being deceived. They're never even going to make it to the tribulation period. And when they do, they won't recognize the man-child. Like this big dog didn't recognize him. Oh, he wanted to have that position, wanted to be in that place. But the Lord escorted him out of there with knives drawn. You know, the Word of God is a two-edged sword, right? Those knives, that's the Word of God, you see. Escorted them out. And they couldn't believe that they weren't permitted to be in that room. And some of them are going to be angry and jealous when they find that the man-child don't agree with their spirit. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees were angry with Jesus when he didn't agree with their agenda, with their idols, which is what deceived him in the first place. Just remember, the real Jesus is the Word made flesh. I had this brother tell me. Brother Mitt told me that. He said, don't you remember what Jesus said to them? He says, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them is eternal life. But they speak of me and you won't come to me. And his meaning was, of course, that the Scriptures, you don't need them anymore. Now you can listen to the voice. Well, I dare say, if he wrote the Scriptures and the voice is contrary to what he wrote, you got one crazy Jesus there, folks. That's not the Jesus I know. And it's very easy to disprove these people, folks. It's very easy because they don't study the Scriptures anymore. They listen to the voice from then on. They don't study the Scriptures. It's not important. They have graduated. I know that some of you think, well, you're spending too much time warring with the... No, I'm not either. This is life and death. Well, okay. I think I've probably said enough. What do you think, Bill? You got anything on the monitor there?
Curtis said he has something to share.
All right.
It's dealing with the subject.
Okay, good.
Okay. Can you hear me, Bill? Test 1, 2, testing, testing. Good. Okay. Real quick, to add to what David was saying, I was one of the people that looked at that, read the Castle Vision in print, and I was dull of seeing and hearing too, or not too, but I was dull of hearing and seeing some things until later on, and it was the first real revelation of how subtle we can be deceived I mean, it was the first real revelation for me, and I had to think about that. I really had to think about that good. And the Lord, He gave me some scriptures to look at. And just real quick, I'll just share them for the benefit of the other brethren in the room here. And in Acts 24, we read, and after certain days, and this is when Paul was on trial for sedition, and he was requesting a meeting with Caesar, and he met with various leaders before he actually got to meet with Caesar. And so we read in Acts 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. The faith in Christ. Okay, so what is the faith in Christ? In verse 25 we read, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. And there is my answer right there. And I let that become part of my foundation for when someone comes and is proclaiming the word of God to me, then I know that these three things, they need to be added to his words. They need to be a part of his words. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment. Because until this time, this is the first real revelation of how subtle, well, I shouldn't say the first real revelation, but this was a major revelation to me of how subtle. It was the first real revelation to me of how subtle these wolves can come in and draw us away after another Jesus. And so I felt like this was a powerful revelation that the Lord gave me about if a person comes among us, then they need to be, their words need to be filled with the righteousness that Christ accomplished for us, temperance, meaning self-control, the fact that we are called to overcome, and judgment to come, warning all men and looking diligently lest any man fail at the grace of God. So I just felt a real burden to share that with the brethren. I hope it blesses somebody. Thank you, Bill. God bless you, Dave. God bless you all.
You know, Jesus is coming with judgment. The first seal that's opened is the white horse rider, and actually it brings all those other horse rider judgments in after it. It's not all love and peace. I mean, I know Mitt made a really harsh comment about me seeing Brownsville spirits in people. And he was specific about that, that he didn't like me saying that. And I told him, I said, well, Mitt, who gives discerning of spirits? I mean, who are you fighting against here? The Lord gives this discernment. And why are you offended about me speaking against the Brownsville spirits, you know? There's something really fishy going on there. And I knew it. That's the same kind of a voice. There is, it's not all love, folks. See, God loves his people so much that he's going to judge this world. And he's going to judge the wicked that slip in among his people, like Ananias and Sapphira in these days. He's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. You say, but he's love. Well, of course he is. And since he loves us, he's going to separate from us everything that would keep us from his kingdom. And he's going to judge us. You know, if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. We need to take that word and make sure we're in alignment with that word. Because everything it's not is going to be shaken. The wrath of God is going to drive the people of God under the shelter of Jesus Christ. Drive them to abide in Christ, in that house that we just read about, that Amos saw, that house. And multitudes of people are going to be driven out of that house, thinking, you know, why is this happening to me? What am I doing out here in the cold where the wolves devour everything? You know, why is this happening to me? Because of idols. Because of not keeping his commandments. Love that God expects, folks, is not that emotional love. It is that love that loves enough to obey. His word. That's what he expects. I'm not speaking against the emotional love. I'm just saying that it's not stable by itself at all. Any more than it is in that lost world, they've got the same kind of love. When they get married and they don't have the love of Christ in their heart, they have that same kind of phileo love. They don't have agape love. The wicked people in the world, they have that phileo love. And it can be very touchy-feely, you know. It can be very emotional. But it's unstable. And I'm going to tell you, the devil could give that kind of love to people. Especially for a spirit that's not the real true Jesus. Some people have told me in the past that, David, I just don't know why. I don't feel the kind of love that I think I ought to have for God. And I point out to him, I says, the kind of love that God wants is the kind that hears his words and obeys them. It's not the emotions that you're used to in the world. That's not what God's asking for. That's not what he's demanding. And when you see somebody that's trying to sell you on that kind of love, that kind of emotional love, just know that that's not what the Bible is talking about. The person who has the love is the one who's going to obey his commandments. They're going to walk by faith. They're going to understand faith. They're going to know the Word of God. They're going to read the Word of God because they love it. And they put it in their heart. And they want to see how obedient they can be to Jesus. This is the real love. Well, God bless you, folks. We've come to the end of another meeting, and the Lord be with you and bless you with wisdom. Father, just pour out your Spirit, Lord, upon all our brethren out there, Lord. Protect them. Put your blood covering upon them and protect them from the foolishness of this world, the deceptions that are washing over the world, Lord. God, give us wisdom to watch out for one another, to be careful for one another. Lord, put it in the heart of your people to get up every morning and claim the blood of Christ on them and ask for your protection, your deliverance, your wisdom. Ask for your desire in their hearts to read your word that they might not sin against you. Lord, give us your will, Lord. Put your will in our hearts in Jesus' name. Well, all right. God bless you, folks. And we'll be back Wednesday. 7:30 Central Standard Times. Please pray for us. And we appreciate you so much. God bless you. Good night.
Well, I want to share another dream that was given to Matt Weller, which is very interesting. It was very prophetic, and it's already been proven true. So listen carefully here. This is Matt said, I had a dream a month before the Dallas meeting. Well, they had a meeting over in Dallas, and a lot of the brethren went to it and got blessed in the Lord. It was a month before this meeting in which I was with a group of people being attacked by waves of enemies. The first wave was wolves, but they were baby wolves. That's interesting. Well, truly, that group has been attacked by wolves. And I think they all know it now, except for maybe a couple of them. They all know that it was wolves. And we've already talked about that. He goes on to say, I had a gun with two triggers and was spraying this white paint-like substance into their eyes, and it killed them. Speaking of the wolves, that is. The two triggers reminded me of a double-edged sword. In the military, we used rifles instead of swords, so it makes sense to me. Yeah, it sounds pretty good, Matt. I still haven't heard anything from the Lord about the white substance. My thoughts are that it is the pure Word of God that covers us, much like paint covers the inside and outside of a house. Well, you know, I remember Brother Kurt's vision about the White House in which we were all in, and it was safety. And there was a fire burning all around the property, burned all the way up to the property line. It even burned down into the concrete. It was so fierce. But when it came to the property line of that house, it just stopped all the way around. And we were safe. And somebody mentioned the fact that, yep, all we have to do is stay in the house. I would say This is talking about the righteousness that comes through obedience to the Word. Kind of what Matt said here. There's no promise for you folks if you're not obedient to God's Word. That's what the Bible calls abiding in Him, right? Be careful about the people who claim that they're following the Lord. They're following the, quote, Spirit. But if it's not according to His Word, they're all going to be deceived. They all are deceived. There's no promise for those people. Since I was a baby Christian, I've run into these people, and the Lord gave me wisdom because I read the Word day and night in those days, and the Lord gave me wisdom to point things out to them as the Word said, you know. And I've seen some of those people delivered by casting demons out, and some of them stubborn and self-willed and just delivered over to that by the devil, by the Lord, through the devil. The wolves were blinded to it and are destroyed because of it. The wolves were babies because they were immature in their understanding. Well, that was so true. This last wave of wolves that have come against this ministry, and they were very ignorant in the ways of the Lord and the ways of the Word, but they followed the Spirit, right? But you know what Spirit it is when it's not according to the Word. The Bible says the Spirit and the Word agree. So when you got a spirit that doesn't agree with the Word, guess who that is? That's the devil. And I agree that they were babies. They were baby wolves, very ignorant in the Scriptures. That's one reason that they were taken advantage of by Satan, is they chose to be that way. In the dream, there was a second wave of enemies after the wolves. Aha! Now, maybe that hadn't come to pass yet, but I do not remember what they were. After that wave, we were all transported to a spiritual place of safety in the midst of a canyon and were hidden from the enemy for a time. I was very much ready for the next battle while in that canyon. Well, I don't know about this. I know that the second wave could have been the wave that came here after the Dallas situation, okay? But he could be talking about something else down the road, and the Lord could be speaking of those two as one wave, because actually some of the same people were involved in it, so it could have been just one wave. Really doesn't matter. We have to abide in the Lord, in His safety, don't we? We have to put our trust in Him to give us His wisdom. We have to be obedient and walk in His steps so that we're not deceived. I'll just remind you of what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says. It says, whose coming is according to the working of Satan. And he's talking about here, of course, the son of perdition. Those people who walk in the steps of Judas, who was called the son of perdition. Those people who are hid in the midst of the temple, which is the word in this chapter. Temple is the word used, that Paul used for the body of Christ. Not the word that was used for the physical building. So, whose coming is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Well, it's true, folks. You know, these people do have power and signs and lying wonders. And the devil's been at this for a long time. And don't think he can't deceive you if you don't hold to the Word. You have to love the truth, because he can deceive you. You know, the devil has a lot of wisdom, a lot more wisdom than we have. It's just corrupt wisdom. It's corrupted. But he has intelligence, a lot of intelligence, but it's corrupt intelligence. So they're coming with all power and signs and lying wonders. Isn't it amazing how many people bought into a lot of the false revivals around the country because of these lying signs and wonders? They weren't the kind of signs and wonders, by the way, that the disciples had. Healing and deliverance and all these things and miracles. You know, they were the silly signs and wonders. That, you know why that is? It's because Satan doesn't cast out Satan. His kingdom would fall, according to what Jesus said, if he did that. So they give a placebo, something that satisfies the people, that they're seeing something supernatural that they haven't seen in their dead churches, right? But when you have the real signs and wonders, people should know the difference. And it's really a shame when people are deceived like this. And there's a reason for it. Verse 10 tells us that. It says, with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know, Jesus is the truth, isn't he? He's also the Word made flesh. People perish that are deceived by these lying signs and wonders because they don't receive the love of the truth. They might be saved. And isn't it a shame that so often that when they fall into these deceptions, there's a brother or sister there with a word from the Lord, a word straight out, a word that points them in the right direction, but they don't want it. Verse 11 says, and for this cause God sends them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I tell you, folks, if you have pleasure in your sins, and you don't love the truth, and God sends you a working of error, there isn't anything that the people around you are going to be able to do about it. That's the only protection you've got, is to love God's Word, not depart from it for any spirit. Any spirit that impersonates the Lord, or impersonates an apostle, or impersonates a prophet, these are lying spirits. And I like especially 2 Timothy chapter 3 on this. Let me read a little bit of that to you. Now, I hate to see people deceived, but I do know that deceivers have a purpose in God. You know, Bill was talking about some of the people that we block out of the room because they were in there trying to drag people off to their cults and things like that, you know. And the thought came to me, buzzards have a good work to do. You know a buzzard, right? They rarely ever grab anything alive. It's usually dead, isn't it? Well, okay. Huh? Dead and stinky. Yeah, that's right. Dead and stinky. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm just going to start at the beginning of it. It says, for know this, that in the last days, hey, that's us, folks, grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Think about that. Well, I tell you, lovers of self, there are people who are so idolatrous with themselves that they do anything to fight against the crucified life. They find it a relief to get out from under the Word sometimes. I had somebody tell me here recently they wanted less Word and more Jesus. Well, that's an oxymoron, folks. You know, can you think about that? Just stop and think about that a minute. Come on now, Jesus is the Word, right? Less Word, more Jesus. All right. Well, you know what they meant, and they're going to get what they mean, too, because they don't love the truth. And boastful and haughty. I've never seen so many people that buy into, especially this Brownsville demons, this false prophetic spirits and things that they receive, immediately. It doesn't matter if he's a 1 year old in the Lord, they're an elder. And they're boastful and they're haughty. And they begin to rail against those that recognize them. And this is spreading all over the country. Disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Without natural affection. Why does he say these things will happen in the last days? You know, we're watching it happen around us, aren't we? We're watching people fall into deception and delusion in preparation for the coming of the man-child. Do you know that? Why do I say that? Well, I'm going to come back and read 2 Timothy. Let me read a little bit to you in Matthew 13. This just popped into my head, and I'm going to share it with you. Matthew 13 and 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, unto you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's, that is God's people's, right? This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. Wow, don't you know that the grace that God gave to the disciples in those days gave them eyes and ears? Why was it that some of these people never received that kind of grace? Well, obviously, these people had been reprobated, rejected. That's what the word reprobated means, rejected of the Lord. And when did that happen? Well, it had to be before the man-child ministry, because this is Jesus speaking to these people. And this is God's people. Speaking unto this people, his people, you see. Now here we see, looking around us, folks, it's happening. Multitudes of people, strong delusion, many being reprobated. Oh, I don't doubt at all that the Lord is merciful, and some people he gives them a taste of delusion and deception, and he brings them back. I don't doubt that at all. We know that's going to happen. But we also see what's happening right here in Matthew 13, that some of these people are never, ever going to come back. They're never coming back to the Lord. So, watch. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Watch and pray and get a love for the Word of God. Make sure that you're not giving in to your old flesh, you know. Back in 2 Timothy 3, that's why I believe it's saying the last days here, because God, before the man-child's ministry, is going to reprobate multitudes of people that are never going to hear and never going to see. They're traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. For, you know, a lot of these, let me say, false prophetic people that are running around the country, puffed up with who they are. Some of you know about a particular fellow recently that came to us. He just came out of the Baptist church 2 years ago, and all of a sudden he's wiser than anybody, but wiser than seven men can render a reason, as the Bible says. Just headstrong, puffed up. But no real power here, you know. Well, no signs and wonders, no power. The thing they want to give to you, folks, is deception. They want to pass it on to you. Verse 6, for of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by diverse lusts. You know, this is so true. The watchman can be diligently watching, as careful as they can be to be obedient to the Lord and watching for these wolves. But you know what? The Lord is going to let some of them through. He's not going to give discernment. He's not going to give direction. Some of them are going to come through. What are they coming for? Well, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They're going to come through the wall. They're going to get on the inside. Some of them are, no matter what. You can be watching, but if God is in it, it's going to happen. And they're going to come in there to clean house, folks. And that's what they're there for. To take out of there the people who don't love the truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's what they're coming for. Just make sure it's not you. Creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And boy, I tell you, that's so true. There are so many people that just, they enjoy learning new things, but they hardly ever walk in the old things, you know. Even as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also withstand the truth. Men corrupt in mind, reprobate concerning the faith. I talked to one here recently, had the foggiest idea, claimed to be a prophet, but he didn't have the foggiest idea what faith was, nor what biblical love is, agape love is. But they shall proceed no farther. What time is that? Well, in the last days, verse 1 says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be evident unto all men. All men? You mean even the wicked world will see these people as foolish. Absolutely. As theirs also came to be. But thou didst follow my teaching. And here it is, folks. Here's the only people that are going to escape. Those that, as he said back in chapter 2 and verse 15, they handle aright the word of truth. A workman needeth not be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. But verse 10 says, but thou didst follow my teaching, conduct. In other words, you're walking in the steps of Jesus, right? Purpose, faith, long suffering, love. That is, of course, God's kind of love, the kind that obeys the word, according to what Jesus said. Patience. Persecutions, suffering, what things befell me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Boy, we do go through some things and some kinds of suffering, but the Lord delivers us, and we are always the wiser for it. We who love the truth, we who hold fast the word, who hold fast to Paul's teaching, right? Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse. Yes, impostors. Those who are impersonating apostles, elders, prophets, someone with a word from God of some kind. Evil men and impostors shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You can't deceive without being deceived, right? What you sow, you reap, right? But abide thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of. It's amazing to me that people can study, you know, the things on our site, which is just lots and lots of scripture, you know, lots and lots of stuff just straight out of the Word, which have everything to do with abiding in Christ. And in Christ, guess what? All of your needs are met. We just saw that. Spiritual needs and physical needs are met. That's why Paul was so sure that he shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When you qualify it with that last few phrases, what you're saying is those saints who are abiding in him will have their needs met. And it is so, folks, it is so. So that's a very safe statement for him to make.